puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
It's time now for a special long weekend edition of Abandoned Manitoba, and Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society joins us once again. Hello, Gordon.
Good morning, Jenalee.
So what are we discussing this week?
Well, I thought I'd discuss something that's going to happen tomorrow morning. Near Manitoba's border with Ontario, a group of people are going to gather for something called the Pine to Prairie Relic Run.
What exactly is that?
It involves five old automobiles that will drive from the Ontario border, that's the pine part, to the Saskatchewan border, that's prairie, along the original route of the Trans-Canada Highway as it existed in 1932 when these cars were new.
Okay, in 1932, so it's not the same route as the present one then?
No. In fact, through the years, the Trans-Canada's route has been changed dramatically. Well, it's been straightened, for example. You could almost take your hands off the wheel and go right across the province without turning at all. Well, not quite, but close in the name of efficiency. The old highway, very different.
Now, you're going to be taking this original route, but why 1932? Why are you focusing on that year in particular?
Mm-hmm. Well, 1932 was the year when the Trans-Canada Highway in Manitoba was linked up to the one in Ontario. So it wasn't quite the national highway that we think of today, but at least now it was trans-provincial. They erected a monument at the border between Manitoba and Ontario in 1932, and there was a big ceremony with government officials from the two provinces. That monument, by the way, is still there, and we would have liked to have started the relic run at the monument. Unfortunately, the highway is presently under construction. It's being twinned. The original spot, therefore, is not accessible, so instead, we're going to begin the drive at a visitor information center just a short distance west of the border.
Well, I understand there must have been a bit of work to figure out the original route. What did you do?
It was a lot of work. My first clue came from a provincial road map from the early 1930s. It had been digitized by the Manitoba government and is available on their website. Very helpful. It showed the general route of the Trans-Canada, but it wasn't particularly detailed. I'm a stickler for detail, so I really wanted to know more exactly the route. So fortunately, I was introduced to a gentleman named Chuck Lund. He's a retired Manitoba Highways engineer, and he arranged for me to get access to detailed maps of the entire route. Even then, there were a few gaps in my understanding. I used satellite photos to confirm, for example, where turns occurred on the highway and that sort of thing. Because, surprisingly, even long-abandoned stretches of highway are often still quite visible from the air. So I'm pretty sure that I now know the entire exact route of the Trans-Canada.
And is it all still drivable?
You know, for the most part, yes. There are a few sections that are now gone or are in some way impassable. So we will have to take a few short detours here and there. But one notable detail about a route that is unlike the modern Trans-Canada Highway, it passes through most of the towns along the way. And of course, the modern one, you almost go through no towns at all. So, for example, on the eastern leg of the trip, we're going to be going through Rennie, Whitemouth, Beausejour, Garson, and Lockport before we get to Winnipeg. We'll head out on present-day Highway 26 through St. Francis Xavier and Poplar Point, arriving at Portage-la-Prairie. Then we'll take a service road alongside the modern Trans-Canada, turning off at Highway 351 to pass through Carberry, eventually returning to the modern highway to Brandon. West of Brandon, that's where we go completely a different route. We're basically going to use country roads to pass through Griswold, Oak Lake, Verdon, Hargrave, and Elkhorn, finally arriving at the Saskatchewan border near Kirkella.
What cars are participating in the Relic Run?
Well, I find it interesting that all of them are Fords. There's one Model T and four Model A's. The oldest car is 1923, so well, do the math. It's marking its 100th birthday this year. Pretty impressive that it's still at 100 able to do this trip. We have two 1928s, one 1930, and one 1931. There are two-door cars, some are four-door. All of them have four-cylinder engines with manual transmissions, although the transmissions are a little funky in some cases. Modern amenities? Nah, not so much. There's no luxuries like radios, for example. Nothing. Of course, CD players? Are you kidding?
Oh, I've never driven a 100-year-old car, Gordon, but I have to ask, You know, how fast can they go?
Well, of course, the newer cars, the ones from the 1930, 1931, they can drive a bit faster than the older ones because they weren't making considerable progress as they moved along. So the 1923 Model T will set the pace, and that'll probably be around 40 kilometers an hour.
How long will this drive take from Ontario to Saskatchewan?
The total distance on the old TransCanada is about 545 kilometers. Of course, a modern car could do that quite easily in a single day. But at the speeds of these old fellows, it'll be a three-day trip. So tomorrow, we plan to get from the Ontario border to Winnipeg, ending the day on the grounds of the Legislative Building. On the second day, Tuesday, we'll start in Headingley and arrive in Brandon by late afternoon. And on the third day, Wednesday, we'll go from Brandon to the Saskatchewan border. And if all goes well, we should finish the relic run late in the day on Wednesday. But along the way, we're going to stop at museums and other places to give the cars a rest and, well, frankly, also the drivers a rest, and to answer questions from people who may be interested in meeting us.
So who are the drivers?
For the most part, the drivers are the owners of their respective cars. All of them are antique car enthusiasts, as you might imagine, and they have kept their vehicles in fine running order. You know, they just purr like kittens. And these guys are all up to the challenge to see if their cars can make it across Manitoba. One interesting little bit of trivia, our oldest driver is 92, the same age as his car.
Where can listeners get more information?
Well, we do have a website that has details on the Relic Run route. It says a little bit about the cars that are involved in it. It also provides an estimate of when we'll reach towns along the way, in case people want to come out and see us. The website is at P, the letter P, the number 2, the letter P, Pine to Prairie, relicrun.ca, P2P, relicrun.ca. And I'd ask all of our listeners to spread the word about this historic drive.
Now, Gordon, I have one final question. Why are you doing this?
Well, on principle, I'm curious to know if it can be done. You know, if cars that are nearly 100 years old can drive on a highway from a century ago. On a practical level, this is a fundraiser on behalf of the tree planting car. Now, we talked here about the car back in 2019. It was a railway car that from the 1920s to the 1970s traveled all over Western Canada, encouraging people to plant trees. Of course, this was the prairies. Millions of mature trees today exist because of the work of the tree planting car. Last fall, the car was moved from its former home in southeastern Manitoba to the grounds of the Manitoba Agricultural Museum, where it's going to be put on permanent display and will have an exhibit on the history of tree planting on the prairies. But it needs a new roof to protect it from things like the burning sun, the rain, the snow. You know, those are all hard on old railway cars. And so any funds that we raise by way of donations, or we actually have several books that we're going to be selling that are related in some way to the run, they'll be available at routes, stops along the route. All of these will go towards constructing a protective roof for the historic tree planting car. In fact, we'll be offering tax receipts for all donations issued through the Manitoba Agricultural Museum. And in fact, one little additional little incentive is that all donors will be entered in a random draw for a framed original Manitoba roadmap from 1926. It's the real deal, and it's beautiful.
Since you're doing this tour, I have a feeling that I know what's coming up next week on the show.
Well, there are, of course, questions in this week's Pine to Prairie Relic Run for which I have no answers. And, of course, the most notable one will be, will the five cars make it all the way? Well, I will fill in our listeners next Sunday morning.
Thanks so much, Gordon, and safe travels.
Thanks so much. Maybe we'll see you out there on the run.
Maybe.
Okay, bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.